Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we account him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. Friends, let us pray the prayer of confession together. God, we make so many mistakes, and we turn away from you so often, yet we need you so much. Thank you that you so loved the world that you sent Jesus to save us. Amen. Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which is lost. Everyone who trusts in him receives the forgiveness of sin through his name. So be assured that God bestows upon you mercy, grants you forgiveness, and offers you eternal life. Praise be to God. Our scripture reading today is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. The word of God. Thanks be to God. So this passage that I just shared with you is as rich as any as I've found in the Bible. In fact, this whole letter to the struggling little first century Jewish Christian fellowship is fascinating and quite contemporaneous in many ways. And while I'd selfishly like to explore these three verses in greater depth, our format today rightly requires much greater discipline on my part. So I'm going to just briefly focus on a portion of the second verse. And that's, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame. I'll say it again. Who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame. As many of you longtime St. Stephen's folk are tired of hearing me recount now, I worked as an RN before I was called into pastoral ministry, and my specific places of work were first the operating room and then the emergency room. Now, the strange thing about this is that I wasn't, prior to that, someone who had any history of being especially comfortable at the sight of blood. It's no exaggeration to say I'd get rather weak in the knees at even the thought of some visible injury. And yet there I was, drawn to the OR and to the ER. Who knew? And I found it satisfying and life-giving to work in both of those places, despite the fact that I was required to be very much involved in the treatment of sometimes terrible injuries. In the attempt to repair broken and torn bodies, sometimes through the vagaries of just circumstance, and on occasion as the result of deliberate human action, out of sheer depravity. We are capable of doing truly appalling things to one another, and sadly, sometimes we do just that. Now, how God brought about that miraculous change of temperament within me is best left for another day in another sermon. But let it suffice to say today that I was required to learn the discipline of directing my attention to what was sometimes horrific. And there's no need to catalog such things, but a little logic and imagination, well, you can figure out the possibilities. But I was required to practice that discipline to achieve what I think to be a noble end, the opportunity for healing. So you can see the tension in this, can't you? It's one of the unavoidable realities of life. Sometimes achieving some good can require of us the enduring of significant distress, some level of discomfort, and like that's just the way it is. As the old saying goes, no pain, no gain. Things of value or consequence often only come with some degree of struggle. So with that in mind, I'd like to focus on a couple of things today. I've got a couple of thoughts. The first is what's clear, and that's Holy Week is just hard. It's hard in that to participate in it, and not simply to leap from the high of Palm Sunday to an even greater high of Easter, but to actually walk through the week, to reflect on the events of Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, today, Holy Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then the silence of Holy Saturday. Well, that demands that we take some time to look at conflict and ugliness. And that makes me uncomfortable, as I know it does others. The misunderstanding and betrayal, denial, that unjust trial, the torture, the shame and the pain of the crucifixion. In some ways, standing with the Marys and the beloved disciple at the cross. Taking some time to ponder these things is the work of Holy Week. And it's hard work. And reluctance to do so, well, it's understandable. But doing that work will bring definition to what is to come on Sunday. Well, Jesus endured the cross and disregarded its shame to raise up again our text for today. It's now our work to regard that shame, as distressing as that surely is. And in doing this, well, that brings me to my second thought for today. Jesus, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. For the sake of the joy that was set before him. No, it wasn't some accident, some mistake. His trip to the cross was a deliberate choice. In fact, the writer to the letter to the Hebrews wants us to know that it was his joy to do so. The word translated in Scripture here as joy can also be expressed as calm delight, which sounds a bit jarring, a bit incongruous to my ear. But it seems that Jesus saw something of incalculable value taking place on the cross. And so he embraced that terrible event, and he embraced it with joy. Indeed, something powerful, something cosmos-shaking, something counterintuitively joy-producing occurred that Friday afternoon, the effect of which was shockingly revealed in the wee hours of the following Sunday morning. Something for which we can only respond to in gratitude, and yes, in joy. To which I say thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O God, in Jesus Christ, you triumphantly entered Jerusalem and then journeyed through a week of pain and sorrow and betrayal. In these days of triumph and defeat and glory and mysterious victory, you have brought together humiliation and exaltation, death and resurrection. Be with us now as we continue to follow in joy and in sorrow the way of the cross in the footsteps of Jesus our Savior. Amen. Friends, let us go out now as disciples of Jesus Christ to, with him, bring healing into a bruised and a battered world. May the blessing of our Lord be upon each and every one of us as we continue our walk through this holiest of weeks. Amen.